Adidas Terex is the brand dedicated to all those with a creative spirit and play in the outdoors. Guided by a focus on performance, style, and sustainability, Adidas Terex pursues innovation in these areas with an open-source approach with world-class collaborators, particularly athletes like Timothy Olsen. Adidas Terex's trail run products are designed for those who challenge conventions and redefine the rules. Using technologies from partners like Gore-Tex, Continental, and Parley, Adidas Terex also supports trail running communities and events, including Infinite Trails and iconic athlete moments, including Sabrina Stanley's FKT of Nolan's 14. For this podcast, we're speaking to Timothy Olsen, the two-time winner and former record holder of the Western States 100-mile race, who, on the 1st of June, will be setting out to beat the fastest known time for the Pacific Crest Trail. We're proud to partner with Adidas Terex as sponsor for this episode.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining the Fastest Known podcast, where we don't mess around, we don't beat around the bush. Instead, we talk to some of the most interesting people in the sport today. Certainly no exception. And I'd like to welcome the two-time winner of the Western States 100, a fourth and a 13th at Ultra Tour du Mont Blanc. I hope you're guessing who I'm referring to. You should know that we are now speaking with Timothy Olsen. Welcome, Timothy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you. It's been a long time, and you've been in the sport for a number of years. We mentioned States, where you had a course record there. You had results at UTMB and at Hard Rock. And now it's coming around. You're going for the big one on the West Coast. So what is your upcoming project?
Yeah, I'm going to attempt the Pacific Crest Trail this spring, summer, starting in June, and going for the fastest known time. Right now, it's at 52 days, some hours, and hoping to lower that. But yeah, this is a new ball game for me, and I'm just excited to go out there and to really see the Pacific Crest Trail. When I first moved to Ashland, Oregon, back in 2008, and started meeting trail runners, got introduced to trail running, did not know ultra running existed at that time. And Hal Kerner and Ian Torrance were kind of the first people I met there. And Hal just won Western States. And so just getting to know my friends in this local hood, I was introduced to ultra running, and yeah, it kind of blew my mind. I started, you know, hanging with them, running, and just really fell in love with Oregon, the beautiful trails, and that happened to be a lot of my training and running was on the Pacific Crest Trail. And yeah, it kind of, that's where I fell in love with trail running, really got into it, and you know, however many years later, still love it. So thankful to meet the people that I met in Ashland and to just find a sport like trail running where I just get to go out in nature and play and have fun and really connect with nature.
Good attitude. Of course, you've lived in Boulder, Colorado for some time, but like you say, Ashland is where you got going, where you lived when you did your Western States runs. And now it's, I don't want to say full circle, but it's come back around. You're going back out west in the PCT. This is no joke, 2,597 miles. So and I like your attitude already, which is, you know, you want to go for the FKT, but you also want to just experience the PCT, which is a really cool trail. So how are you, I mean, do you feel that as you've matured as an athlete, I mean, you're 37 years old now, that that's going to help in this long multi-day trip? Because in the past, you know, some of the top ultra runners have struggled a little bit on the big long trails, while the fast hikers have done better. So is your maturity going to help in this?
I guess we'll see, right? Like, I think so. I remember when I was first training for Western States and running with Ian Torrance and Hal doing a training run and talking about the Pacific Crest Trail. And I really didn't know much about it or through hiking or, you know, just that world. And, you know, kind of jokingly or just, you know, just being a little boisterous, I was like, I'm going to do the Pacific Pacific Crest Trail one day. And they kind of, you know, chuckled at me a little bit and said, you might want to wait a few years, you know, enjoy the faster, shorter distance, even though I was doing 100-mile races. So that's still incredibly long. And it's always piqued my interest. And just this going out for so many days consecutively and just like so, you know, interweaving your day-to-day life in with nature, where that's just not, you know, the most normal way of life for a lot of people. And so having this opportunity that my family's on board, Adidas, my sponsor, is on board and helping me through all this, having a team come with me. When you're given an opportunity like this in life, you take it and go all in. And you know, I don't know what's going to come from doing it. I don't, you know, there's so many things that can happen on a trail when you're trying to run, you know, 50 miles plus a day, and just the physical part of it, but then the mental part of it, and all the unknowns, all the things that can come up of weather, day one I could get bit by a snake and we could all laugh out, you know, it went really well. But you know, it's just things like that can happen. It can happen at day one, it can happen on day 49, it can happen any time. And so I'm hoping that through my years of being out in nature, trail running, doing races, I hope I've learned things through that time. And now I get to really put them into use on doing something so demanding and something definitely out of my comfort zone. But yeah.
Wow. Well, I will partially answer my own question, which is, in my personal opinion, you've definitely matured. That was a brilliant answer. Yeah. If I was, you know, you kind of listen to this a little bit, because if there's bravado in a 50-day effort, you know, the spectator is going to go, how long is that going to last?
Yeah.
And instead you had I'm going to see what happens. You know, I'm going to just take it, and you know, I want to be out there in nature. And so from my bystander's point of view, that is maturity. So of course, maybe you've always been like that, but still, these are big efforts.
Yeah, over the last 10 plus years, I've been running 100-mile races. And when you go and try to do a 100-mile race, you learn that you are humbled by nature very, very quickly. And I've learned that over the years, that like I've had races where I've gone all out really hard, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But this isn't a race where this is going out and just going out every day like I do in training. So it's just a little bit different. It's a different mindset for me, at least going into it, where like day one isn't like, you know, all out and see what happens. And then hopefully I could just hold on. It's like, I have to be, you know, smart with it. And things that I don't do in races that I've talked about with my crew, of like when I'm getting a blister in my shoe or I have a rock in my shoe in a race, I rarely will get it out, because I'll just deal with it until I get to the finish, or it falls out, or if like it's terribly excruciating, I'll deal with it. But for the most part, I just kind of deal with the pain and accept it and march through to the finish. Where this is like every day, I just need to be really in tune with nature and my body, and like, okay, my pack is rubbing weird today, and if I keep going like this, I'm going to end up with a huge, you know, all kinds of different issues and problems. So I'm like trying to prevent those things from happening, so it doesn't turn into this, you know, just terrible death march. And I want to enjoy as much as possible. And where I know there's going to be pain and hard days and days that I probably want to quit, I hope that I can rise above those really hard moments and remember why I'm doing this, and remember just my love for nature, and to go out there and to really, you know, just experience nature in its like fullest capacity.
Well, I think you will.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I'm sorry. It's, you know, we're runners. So little dark humor is what you have to have, because you start off, it's a south to north, which means you start out in the Mojave Desert.
Yeah.
And which means you got to do basically 7 double marathons in the first week, each day, I should say a double marathon every day for 7 straight days through the Mojave to get going before you enter the foothills of the Sierras. that's going to be nature, right? You know, 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you get into the Sierras and you'll be in some snow. So this is, the PCT is a worthy trip.
Yeah, it's got it all. And that what makes it, it's what makes it so beautiful. I mean, to like, I'm going to be suffering that first week. I was talking to a friend just a couple of days ago that said they were in Mojave Desert. It was 102 degrees. So like, that's going to be starting off. And yeah, and I don't know, like mentally you can kind of prepare for these things, but like, you just got to go out there and experience it. And then like, you know, try to be as prepared as possible and then just be ready to adapt and change.
Boom. I love it, Timothy. Yeah. Good call. And you mentioned crew. So I would presume that Krista, your lovely wife, and is Bob, your father-in-law, will he be along also?
Yep. So bringing the family, Krista will be always my head crew. So she'll be, we have an RV and with the kids in it. But to throw another little fun twist to that, we are expecting a baby in August. And so, yeah, my amazing wife will be, you know, helping out and being a part of this, you know, 7-8 months pregnant. So it's, yeah, that will be challenging. And just bringing the kids on there, I'm doing this supported. So I'm going to have my boys, my family there, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, Bob and Debbie Loomis are going to be joining. So I'm going to have Debbie helping out with the kids and just kind of with, you know, hanging with Krista and helping with a bunch of logistics. And Bob is going to be, you know, trying to find me at different trailheads and different road crossings and stuff to refuel me when possible. And then I also have Kelly, who is started Real Athlete Diets, who lives here in close by in Boulder. And she's helping with my nutrition and food. So, you know, kind of making sure that the crew's all fed, but that I'm fed and I'm just not eating, you know, Twinkies the whole time. So we're going to, you know, hoping to have some real good food. Nutrition is very important to me. And so, you know, to be out there, and of course I'll probably have a Snickers bar and I'll probably have, you know, some ice cream in here and there, but she's going to be helping getting some real food and more healthier things for me to go. And then last man on my team is of course Jason Koop, my coach for the last handful of years, and so valuable to the team. He's going to be kind of very in charge of, like, you know, kind of, this is what the day looks like. I'm going to go out, and then he will, with Bob, kind of jump from different trailheads to crew me when possible. And yeah, I'm like so grateful for the team that I have. And of course I'm going to be hiking, doing, you know, this day in and day out, but, having the team with me, I don't want to do this without them, and I don't think I could. And I'm just excited to share the experience with them too. That, like, for me, I didn't want to go out there and, like, maybe someday in my life I'll do a self-supported long trail or something like that. But for now in my life, I have an 8-year-old and 5-year-old son, and I don't want to be away from them that long. And I also want to show them this trail, show them, you know, the whole West Coast, of what an opportunity to see so much of this beautiful land and experience it with their grandparents and family and friends. And so we're very excited. I'm very excited for my team, as you can tell.
Well, and that's, again, a sign of maturity and good preparation to have a good team, because without a good team, this doesn't happen, as you're well aware. And first of all, I should say congratulations to you and Krista for number 3. And also note, I've seen you and your team at places like Hard Rock, and Krista is like, wow, she's just the sweetest person you've ever met, except at aid stations. Don't get in her way when she's supporting you at aid stations. It's like, yeah, that's how it's done.
Yeah, she gets me up and going, and you need that. When there's been moments at Hard Rock where I'm having a hard moment, a difficult time, and you know, she shows me that motherly love, but she also gives me a little bit of, let's, you know, I know you want to do this. I've seen you worse, so I know you can get through this. And she's just been able to read me over many years of many different races, and so I don't know how much she'll be helping with during this, that, you know, going through the pregnancy, and I want her to have a comfortable, good time, but just her presence alone and be able to give her a kiss and being able to see her out on the trails will definitely lift my spirits for sure.
it'll lift anyone's spirits.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
Well, a quick note to listeners. So next week, a week from Friday, Kelly Newland, who you just mentioned, of Real Athlete Diets, Rad Foods, will be our guest. Hillary Allen, our co-host on the Fastest Known podcast, will be discussing this same trip from her perspective with Kelly. And so stay tuned for that. And a quick side note here in terms of nutrition, help me out here. I think you were somewhat paleo oriented, were you not? Is that going to be part of this, or what's your approach to the nutrition?
Yeah, that's a great question. Over my career of running, maybe when I started like really getting into Western States training and stuff, I did go more paleo diet, and then it kind of got exaggerated in the whole media world that I was keto, that I don't even look at sugar, and that's not the case. I've had moments where like I do intermittent fasting, so there's times where I'm keto and I eat more like a paleo-ish diet, primal diet, where I don't eat a lot of grains or focus heavily on carbs, and eat more just whole foods, lots of greens, all kinds of vegetables, lots of root vegetables, tubers, and really good quality protein, being grass-fed meat, pasteurized chicken or eggs. I try to really eat clean and from local organic choices. And that has been my diet for a long time. And I'd say over the last few years, I've gotten more away from paleo, where, I use carbs. I don't get home from a run and I'm just, instantly going for lots of carbs. I just try to be really mindful of what I put in my body. And, so I like to eat a really good whole food diet. And when it comes to this trip, I plan to eat really good meals, having, in the morning, I'm going to have a nice protein green smoothie. So I, get some greens in, get some protein, get some carbs in and go on my day. And then I'll probably have some type of wrap of I'm sure Kelly will go over this, but we've been making all kinds of little things. I have like this little pancake thing. So it's like I'm gluten-free. So I'll have like these gluten-free pancakes, and then we'll either put some hash browns in the middle or eggs or.
Wait a minute. I'm getting hungry. This is killing me here.
It's amazing. the goal with having Kelly there in the food is when I'm feeling really rough, I get Kelly's Rad Food after this and not just another, bologna sandwich or something.
Dang. Yeah. I'm getting, you're kind of, I'm ready to wrap up this podcast.
And yeah. Yeah.
Get something to eat here. This is, but I'm sorry, seriously, Kelly can do that. That's very cool. And you can do that. So I appreciate this. Interestingly enough, you mentioned Twinkies, not normally done, but Snickers actually are a classic of the PCT and the AT. Yeah. From Flying Brian, Andrew Skirka. They used to do that. I used to tell Skirka, don't eat Snickers. It's bad for you. But you're 22 years old. Who cares? You just put it in and nothing happens. Interestingly enough, someone did a study. Someone thru-hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and this person had an advanced degree in biochemistry, and he did a before and after. And he ate the normal trail food of snacks. His health, and he was like 27 years old, declined. His heart health declined during what should have put him into excellent fitness. So I very much appreciate your perspective here. This is my personal opinion, of course, but I think your perspective on a healthy, nutritious diet will serve you in the long run. And it's also good for the planet, in my opinion.
Most definitely. And that's a big part of it, having Kelly come there. And we are definitely trying to be sustainable with with the whole project, even though it's, you know, will be challenging, bringing an RV. I'm not oblivious to all the different things that we are going to be having, fuel and stuff, but we're trying to eliminate the things that we can of, you know, not having as much plastic and especially single use things. And how can we reuse, you know, just, I have like the things that I bring my food in are reusable. And so we can just wash them out and reuse them. Yeah, it's not going to be perfect. It's definitely going to be, you know, footsteps on this earth and not all perfect, but I'm hoping that it can also bring just, attention to, this beautiful land, this earth that we, that some people take for granted and that I get to be in it every day. And when you get to just see the beauty of it, you want to keep it pristine and take care of it. And where I am, you know, I'm not going out every day and every single run, I'm picking up trash everywhere I go. I do pick up trash if I see it there, but it's, there's more I could do. But then I come back to that. I don't need to judge myself so hard every day that I can keep making choices. I can, you know, share, what I do for the environment and teach my kids. And, that all helps. And instead of getting down on myself or down on others, we can try to encourage each other and, uplift this earth. And I feel that's, you know, a big reason why I'm here, why people are here. We're put on this earth and we're here to protect this world and to work with it, to be, you know, in collaboration. And a lot of times I see humans just, you know, trying to make it better, or, you know, if I create this, then we'll fix it. And we just need to listen to this earth and going for a hike and being there, you get to really see the earth in its magnificence and that you want to take care of that. And so, I hope that I can at least bring awareness to, you know, different issues in our environment and just, you know, encourage people to make smarter, more mindful choices of what they do with their environment, with their, you know, with their votes for politics, with their votes when they go to the grocery store, with their votes when they consume anything, that's your choice and it has an impact. And to just be aware of that, and so that we can all continue to make better choices that help this earth.
Excellent. I'm sorry to be offering my little personal opinions here, but I have to say I agree with you.
Yeah.
I actually picked up two pieces of trash on my trail run this morning. But we do. We vote with our dollars, really. Where right. You spend your money is what actually happens. Let's go into the prep a little bit more. One last thing I'm noticing. We discussed the Mojave. Whoa, a tough start. 100-degree temperatures. Water will be a big deal here. And one could lose time there. Some of the previous people have bonked out at that first week from heat stroke and dehydration. But then you kind of have what might be a break because, unfortunately for everybody, but not for you, California is in a major drought. 98% of the state is listed as dry. I just looked it up. The Southern Sierras are at 9% of their snowpack for this time of year.
Wow.
Central's 21 and Northern Sierras are at 14% of their normal snowpack. I mean, 9%, that's really low.
That is really
low. Unlike some people, you're post, I mean, like when Horty did it, David Horton, you know, he was trying to use snowshoes. You know, it was kind of working it like that. You might not have to do that. So, unfortunately for the state, but good for the FKT.
Yes, we definitely need more rain and snow. And it's been really nice to see Colorado get some, you know, we're in May and we're still getting hit with snow. We got snowed on yesterday. And Kelly always reminds me, it's good for the watershed, good for, you know, for this summer and fire prevention. So, yeah, that's rough for California. And I hope and wish better that we keep getting more water. For me in doing the Pacific Crest Trail, we've been watching the snowpack and doing calculations on when would be the best time to hit the Sierras. And And that fluctuates every year. So it kind of just worked out for us that we were planning to start around the 1st of June. And we, you know, with the snowpack, we could probably start a little bit earlier, but with just the whole team and everyone's jobs and stuff like that, we've kind of condensed it to be starting around June 1st. And I feel like it's a good timing-wise. It's going to be hot at the start, but that hopefully there'll be a little bit of water still in places, and then I'll hit the Sierras. And so then I won't have to deal with having, you know, bringing snowshoes or an ice axe or crampons and stuff like that. I should hopefully be able to move smoother through those sections and then be able to use the water to drink with all that, you know, ice and snow melt.
Right. Indeed. Well, good thinking there. Yeah. You mentioned Adidas Terex, your sponsor a minute ago. Mm-hmm. This is a cool company. I'm just going to mention this for a second. I'm not sure if people realize how far back Adidas goes. These guys are core. You know, Nike is the world's largest sporting goods company. They weren't started until 1964, famously out there in Beaverton, Oregon. Mm-hmm. Adidas is the second largest in the world. They have a lot of cred. They sponsored Jesse Owens in 1936.
That's incredible. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They sponsored Lionel Messi and, you know, the New Zealand All Blacks rugby team. So I just kind of want to say that they once owned Salomon.
Really?
And they sold Salomon off. So I'm sorry, I just had to note that Adidas is a cool company. When I started off, I used Adidas because I was before Nike was even available. That's when Nike was just a distributor for Onitsuka, for what became ASICS. So I just had to note that I kind of like Adidas. And the Terex is their trail running division, I believe.
Correct.
And which shoe are you going to be using? Do you know?
Yeah. So Terex Outdoor, Adidas Outdoor is I'm very grateful to be a part of the team. Like when I joined Adidas Outdoor, Adidas Terex, over 3 years ago, they were really trying to get into the trail running scene. And when I joined them, we went right to work on shoes, trail shoes. They had some, you know, ready to go. And I'm very picky about my trail shoes. And the longer I run, the more picky I get. And so, like, you know, getting it dialed in for the Pacific Crest Trail, I will be using a few different kinds of shoes where I've been using the Agravic Boa for a handful of years. It's what I ran like UTMB in a couple years ago, and just a nice trail shoe. You know, minimal cushion, maybe around 9 ounces or something like that. But they added this new version now has like a little rock plate, so nice protection. And I like the BOA system. Just sometimes a BOA system is a way to tighten your shoe without tying with laces, just another way. But it's been in the, you know, ski world for a very long time, and cycling world. But it's super helpful of like when you're going down a scree field and all of a sudden you have all this scree in your shoe and you just pop off your shoe, the BOA, it like in half a second pops out, you dump all your stuff and then you put your shoe back on and tie it up and you're good to go. So I really appreciate the BOA system and just the work that they put in the shoes. That one, the Gravic BOA being a little bit more minimal, the Gravic 2 Parlay is another shoe that I'll be using that has a little bit more cushion, a little bit more boost, a midsole that Adidas has used for a long time. It's incredible, really good energy return. It lasts for a very long time, so the shoes will last a little bit longer. So I have a shoe there that has a little bit more cushion. In some of those sections on the PCT, it's not as technical, you know, a little California smooth carpet trail in some places where I'll have a nice, you know, some cushion and give my foot a little bit of to relax a little bit. And then I have some other shoes that are a little bit more like for technical terrain. So I'll have like 3 or 4 different shoes that I'll be kind of like switching out. I even have a couple pairs of road shoes that, you know, that I might throw on. There's a couple fire reroute sections. So I think there'll be some times where I have to run, you know, just some road stuff. So I might throw on road shoes for there. It's really nice having the arsenal of having different options. Like this whole trip definitely comes down to a lot of my gear and gear choices of trying to be, very minimal in what I'm carrying, and then having the choices of, like, when I'm running at the beginning, I'll be able to see my crew a little bit more. So I'll go for a smaller pack and not as much stuff because I'll be able to see my crew. And then when I go through the Sierras, like, I'll have to be having a bear box. I'll have to be having, I'll probably bring a bivy with me, a little mini sleeping bag, and maybe even, like, you know, a little bubble coat to have a little bit more just warmth as I go up there. And I'll always have a raincoat with me. But over the last few years, last at least 3 years with Adidas, I've worked on with their shoes a lot. We have some really cool shoes that you'll see. They're coming out June 1st. So that will be a shoe that I will be running in called the Gravik Ultra. Gravik Ultra is one that I'll be, that one's coming out later, but another shoe that I'll be running in and has a little bit more protection for if my feet are bothering me, or, you know, I just, like, I've hit too many rocks in my forefoot and I want a little bit more protection. And so then having all these choices is super helpful for, you know, trying to accomplish this task. And even working on raincoats and stuff, that I have a small rain, you know, Gore-Tex raincoat that can be, you know, fit in the size of my hand. And so having the gear dialed in has been something I've been working with them for a while. And I feel like we're at a really good place right now where I have everything that I need for this adventure. And that is a game changer of having the right gear out there.
And so you are working with their product developers and they're taking your feedback and they're creating products based on your input.
Yeah, correct. It's something that's been one of the highlights of working with Adidas is how much they value their athletes' feedback. And especially when I first jumped on the team, I was talking daily with my team manager, and, you know, we're trying to make the best trail shoes in the world. And, you know, they have a goal from their corporate model. And for me, I just want really good shoes that work for me, and creating good shoes so my kid has awesome shoes later on. And those Boa shoes, the Gravik Boa shoes that I've been talking about, they make them for kids now. And Tristan was one of the first, like, you know, kids to get, when he was like about six, he was getting like these little shoes with the bow on. And any parent with kids knows how hard it is to get them to tie their shoes or to, like, you know, get shoes on and off. So the BOA system has worked amazing for my little boys, and having good traction. Like, it's hard to find good traction on shoes for kids, and having that. So my kids run all the same trails that I do. And it was something I learned when Kai was just, you know, a few years old. And, you know, being a parent, you just want to say, you know, slow down or watch out for that rock, watch this. And anytime I would ever say anything to Kai, he would fall. And when I would shut my mouth and just let him do his thing, be on the trail, he would, you know, smoothly cruise along. So that's, if I have any fatherly advice, it's let your kids just run and be free, and you know, don't hold their hand every second, because that, like, anytime I would watch, like, be too cautious of a parent, they would flop all over the ground. And when I let them just be, they learn how to run technical trails. They learn how to, you know, feel nature for themselves. And that's what we all need.
They are not dummies.
They are not. No.
Although I think I have been in the past, but kids are. Adidas, yeah. Where my first shoe is the Adidas Olympiad, and it was split leather. Upper, they didn't have nylon uppers yet. So I'm really happy. I'm going to look this up when we get off this. And by the way, go to the written show notes, everyone who's listening to this, and we'll have links to what Timothy just described, that list of shoes he just described. It was really impressive. My second pair of Adidas was called the Mexicana, and it was suede. It was blue suede. Nylon works a lot better. Nylon is a very good material to use as an upper. Uh-huh. So good choices there, Timothy. And speaking of choices, you've mentioned this. I mean, this is a thread throughout our entire conversation here about the planet and being aware, letting your children run free and feel it out for themselves. Your byline on your website is Mindful Mountain Ultra Runner. And this is kind of what you're known for, meditation. You're unabashed that you are a meditator, and this is part of what you promote. So fill us in a little bit on that, and particularly, do you think that the techniques that you have been practicing for some time now will help you on the Pacific Crest Trail?
Yeah, so I've been rambling a lot, so I'll answer that with most definitely. I meditate every morning, and normally often more than once a day. And it's a practice I started when I got into ultra running. It worked out really well when I moved to Ashland, Oregon. Didn't have any work starting off there, and started doing construction. And after doing construction for a while, I decided to do massage school in Ashland, Oregon. And when I was going through massage school is when I met all my ultra running friends at the local running shop there, Rogue Valley Runners. And so as I was memorizing all my muscles and going for runs, someone introduced me to meditation and mindfulness in school. And so I started practicing where every time I go for a run, I try to just be really mindful of my steps and just kind of listening to my body. And I was like, this is cool. And so I called that just my mindful running. And then I started more of a practice of sitting meditation, where I thought being in nature and moving and just being very aware of your surroundings, of your breath, was super helpful. But when I practiced more sitting meditation, I could, it just got me into this, I think, more of like a flow state before even going into a run. So I got into this nice like flow with my breath, with my body, and then I'd go for a run. And so meditation, I think, will play a huge part in, it really does play a huge part in my life, but through the Pacific Crest Trail, of when I'm having a really terrible day and everything hurts and the food isn't tasting good and why am I doing this? I'm going to sit down on that log. I'm going to take a couple deep breaths and I'm just going to meditate there for a little bit and take a look around, realize that FKT would be cool, but that is not why I'm out here, and that I am just so thankful for nature and to be present in it. And I think a lot of us miss, we're busy, and rightfully so. I do the same thing where I'm, running from this thing to that thing and, taking my kids here and there. And through that, those, times where life is a little chaotic, you miss a lot of things and you aren't present and you don't enjoy them. And so when I'm struggling and having a really hard time, I come to meditation and come back to my breath, just using that as an anchor. And also when I'm having a really good day, I come back to my breath and use that as an anchor to both appreciate the good moments and to just accept the challenging ones. And I think going into this, huge endeavor, there's just so many things that could be swirling around in the mind and all these negative thoughts that I could be thinking or telling myself. I could, every day I can wake up and say, oh, you're not going to make it, you're going to feel terrible. Or I can wake up every day, take a deep breath, thank God I'm alive, be grateful for this moment, and then just take the next step and see how that goes and feel with that. It's just been a practice that I've done for a very long time, and it's helped my running. And, it hasn't helped in the sense of like every time I meditate, I go and win the race or something, but like it makes me just step away from this, closed mindedness of like, this is the only thing that matters, but it lets me step away from that and have a new perspective. And it's something that, a good practice that I do all the time, because a lot of times my mind will tell me this thing. I call it like the inner critic or the inner roommate, that person in your head telling you that you're not going to make it and stuff like that. And so whenever I hear those voices, I let them go. I drop back into my breath, feel in my body, and just reside there. And a lot of times it just kind of brings me back to like kind of just my heart center, or just, you know, just very embodied. And when I'm in that space, everything else that happens on in the world, like, you know, the chaos that happens, all the different anxiety that can kind of come up, I can easily go into those vibrations. You know, you have an argument with a neighbor or a colleague or something, it's easy to kind of just, you know, to go into that vibration. Or I can just like stay in my center, stay in my vibration of love, peace, you know, unity, be there, and then radiate from that. And that's just like, that's how I run. That's how I try to live life. And I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to say I'm some enlightened being. I not as much anymore, but I get angry. I'll, you know, yell at my kid or have something, you know, come up where I react. And I recognize that those things come up. I'm human. And instead of judging myself and hating myself, I just like come back to that breath, come back to my center. And that kind of guides my way. And so, I plan to keep using meditation every day. Not as much like here in the morning. I get up and instantly go into meditation after the bathroom or brushing my teeth. So I'll sit in meditation for a while. Or the PCT, I'll probably get up and go to the bathroom and I'll, you know, take a couple of mindful breaths, but we're going to be focusing on getting out the door as soon as possible, where I might, you know, hike for 10 minutes, get a little bit of food in me, just kind of feel my body. And when I've done my training for this, and what I plan to do is kind of just taking moments throughout the day to sit and reflect and to really enjoy what I'm doing out there, and even in the hard moments. And so I plan to continue my practice of meditation throughout my runs, just taking a moment to pause and stop when I need to. And with my team of like, you know, we've all had a hard day, you know, they had a flat tire, this happened, that happened, of bringing us together and just taking a moment to breathe together and remember why we're doing this. And then too, at night before going to sleep, where everything is hurting and, you know, I'm trying to check out of the pain and stuff like that, I'm planning to go into it and notice what's going on in my body. And I think that will be helpful of preventing injuries and preventing different problems that could get much worse later on. And it can just, help me relax, go to sleep and, take a moment to step out of the crazy FKT world for a second and just enjoy, you know, a night around the bonfire with my kids. I plan to bring my guitar, play a little guitar, and enjoy some moments. Like, yeah, I don't want to predict everything that's going to happen out there. There's going to be these highs and lows, and, you know, just hope to surf them as mindfully as possible.
Timothy, I'm a fairly loquacious person, but I have nothing to add to that. I think meditation and ultra running have a natural synchronicity. You explained it. You explained how it works for you and how it can be a benefit, mm-hmm. and how it can provide a perspective. I really appreciate that. I don't think I have anything to add. And indeed, you've probably seen me write furiously scribbling down your quotes here, which we'll put in the written show notes. But I hope everyone has enjoyed listening to you as much as I have.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. And thank you to everyone that's out there listening. And please follow along. Cheer me on. Like, one of the best things about the outdoor space, the outdoor community, is the community, the people. Like, there's a bunch of amazing people that love being in the outdoors and sharing those experiences. And we all do it maybe a little bit differently. Some of us are trying to, you know, do 5-minute miles, and some of us are just trying to just hike and enjoy, you know, the flowers and the birds coming by, and the community of people that just really love nature. You know, keep loving nature. And if you want to cheer for me, please cheer for me, and, you know, send me a note to encourage me on. I feel all that I like, and I appreciate it so much. So, yeah, thank you for listening to us. And we're going to go have a good time out there. So please cheer us on. And yeah, it's going to be fun.